Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. Join their team today. We are joined right now in studio by Demoris Smith, former executive director of the NFLPA. His new book is out, Turf Wars, The Fight for the Soul of America's Game.
If you're a football fan,
go get it.
If you're an NFL guy and you want the inside skinny,
you're going to dig it.
You're going to like it.
Are you okay if I get this book sandy? Because I will take this to the beach with me tomorrow.
100%.
So it's good beach reading right here.
For another $15, it comes with a waterproof cover.
Excellent. I might need that.
All right, so let's go to the, because D has so many like fascinating details. See, D's job, listen, when you're the NFLPA president or whatever, big time job, high profile, you got to serve a lot of people. You got to make sure your superstars are happy, but you got your rank and file that really are the bulk of your guys. You got to make sure they're happy. That's like impossible. Keep your Aaron Rodgers and your Tom Brady's happy, but also keep the other 85% who are making close to league minimum happy.
Like
third-string defensive lineman.
And then do that when you're going against 32 billionaires who kind of hold all the cards, because if they don't feel like they're just going to sit out and not pay you guys for it, like, what are you going to do?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because they don't need the money as much as the players.
They have the financial wherewithal to do it.
As we would say, true dat.
Right. So that job, it's a thankless job. I mean, he got well compensated, although he did tell me he would have made more in a law firm over this
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
He's a man of the people.
But you still made FU money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's got FU money.
I mean, you got FU money. You're taking care of for the rest of your kids are taking care of.
We do not have FU money, just in case you're wondering.
Yeah. But we have like.
We can all go to Rips.
We can get crab cakes. It's true.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. When we were growing up, we all have more money than we thought we would have growing up.
Well, that's for sure.
Right.
So go back to that line. Lockout of, what was it, 2011?
Yep.
And the owners are like, set the scene for what the owners want more games. They want to cut your pay by 20%.
Take your pensions. Yeah.
They're like, Gene Upshaw, the longtime guy that everybody loved, that everybody was buddy-buddy with. We were buddy-buddy. I love the guy.
Great dude.
Great guy. But they're like, Gene's gone. They got a newbie in here.
Let's roll the newbie.
Yep. We're going to take 20% of the player's money. We're going to stop this pension crap. We're not going to do this forever. This is crazy. Mm. And we're going to add 18 games, and we're not going to pay him any extra.
No extra for the 17th and 18th.
And then what do you have?
Sounds good.
What do you have?
I've got charming good looks. No, I mean, here, look. The only thing we had was literally two things. One, a great group of player leaders. And I look back on that group, you know, Brian Dawkins, Drew Brees, Kevin Mawai, Jeff Saturday, Foxworth. Those guys woke up one morning and Gene was dead.
Yeah.
And I think that they already knew that the league was going to lock him out in 2 years. I think those guys got onto war footing almost immediately and decided that they were going to be the guys that were at the helm if they lost the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they decided that there was only one play, and that play was, we're going to fight.
Fight, yeah.
And I think the owners, knowing them the way that I do now, I think they looked and saw that Gene was gone, and they thought that this was an opportunity to
take advantage of him.
100%. Right. Just run the train, right?
So
they didn't expect you guys to fight like you did.
No.
And
so how did you,
especially with the new guy representing?
So did you have 2 years leading up to it? So that's when you build a war chest. You did that, right?
Yeah. I mean, we had $250 million in the bank, and they had $4 billion to lock us out.
Yeah.
And so the first thing is we sued them for the $4 billion because we found out that they literally rigged the TV contracts so that the networks were going to pay them $1 million each. I'm sorry, $1 billion each to lock the players out. So they literally structured the television deals in a way that allowed them to get money if we went for if we missed an entire season, which was absolutely
When you say pay them $1 billion each, what do you mean?
So they had structured the TV contracts in such a way that if we went through a lockout and there were no games, that each network who had a TV deal was on the hook to pay them $1 billion each.
Okay, so the three or four networks,
so CBS, ESPN, Fox, they all had to pay the owners a bill.
Right.
Okay.
So we sued them because under the collective bargaining agreement, the way it works is they negotiate the revenue contracts and we share the money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A judge found that the league violated their duty to us to try to maximize contracts. Uh-huh. Because if you're going to get that deal for an extra $1 billion, the argument was they paid a little bit less.
All right, mm-hmm. so you stripped them essentially by winning that of that leverage they had.
And then the flip side is we bought a secret insurance policy that was to this day the most complicated thing I've ever done in my life. And the secret insurance policy would have paid the players around $850 million if we would have gone
missed
through
the whole season.
And missed
So their game strategy was really simple. It was like, okay, these players are only going to last for like 4 weeks, 5 weeks without a, you know, out of a check.
And they're going to say we're in.
And then we're say we're in. Yeah. And then we've got $4 billion if they don't.
And so they had to convince the players, guys, we have a plan here.
Yep.
We have a policy.
Yep.
We can actually sit this out and we're going to be okay. You guys will all be able to feed your families.
Yeah, that was in the
then
executive
you had to
committee.
Convince them.
And the convinced, and look, that group of the executive committee were the guys who decided to stroke that check. And you think about it. I mean, it's in the book. You know, the insurance policy was complicated. It was hard.
Expensive.
Expensive. Oh, but you got to plop down whatever it was, 40-something million, to buy $850 million of insurance. But what they understood was that if everything goes well, we'll never have to use the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So we kept it secret until literally the last minute. And then we threw it down on the table to the owners.
Were they flabbergasted that you actually...
I have never seen them more pissed.
Really?
I talk about it in the book. It was literally like a career moment.
Where was this when they found out you had the policy?
So when you say last minute, is this like as the lockdown occurred or like into the negotiations?
This is like late July.
So when did they lock you out? When did they lock you out?
March.
In March. So then like 2 months into it, you go, just by the way, you guys know, we're good. We have an insurance policy to pay us basically $1 billion.
Yeah, I mean, we had negotiated... The only strategy that I knew was to negotiate the deal as hard as we could, you know, to get to that point. And I think even at that time, they were still holding on to 18 games and they were still holding on to the 20%, you know, give back.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was negotiate the deal as hard as we can to the end. And then if there's still stuff that we need.
Hit him with that.
Bring the hammer.
And so when you did that, who was on the committee then? Who were the owners there? Was that Kraft?
This is one of the best stories of all time.
Yeah.
So Kraft is on the committee. Jones is on the committee. Jerry Richardson, who's no longer with us, was on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Former Panthers owner.
Yeah, probably not going to say anything bad about the dead, but I could.
Mm-hmm. He was a bad guy.
He was not a great dude, to say the least.
So out of those three, Jones, Kraft, Richardson, he was the worst guy.
Man, it was I'd go for a tie for three.
Okay, all right.
Photo finish.
They're all bad dudes.
You had a good relationship with Kraft, right?
I did. And one thing I will say about Robert, one of the guys in the room who always looked at the big picture. And so we walk into the room, and let's just say, I don't want to spoil it, because buy the book. But Kraft was the person that I told the day before about the secret insurance policy.
Okay.
And he said, well, Lynn, let's get together in New York for one last push at this thing. So we fly to New York. We get there. Coolest story. So we're in the room. You know, I finally tell the guys, we're going to play the card today. And we get a group of guys. We're walking down the hallway to go meet with a small group of the owners. And I've got, I think, Jeff Saturday with me, Kevin Mawai with me, Foxworth with me.
Drew Brees there?
He was there, but he wasn't going to go in the small group.
Okay.
So we're walking out of the door, and there was another offensive lineman, a guy who was playing in Atlanta at the time. I think his name, I'm pretty sure it was a guy named Tyson Klabo, who was, I don't know, 6'9", and like, as far as I could tell, 450 pounds. He was like just a giant, but also not a D fan.
Mm-hmm.
Just not that
he wasn't
much of
your
a
guy.
He was not my guy. But he was a rep, so fine. So we're walking out of the room, and we're walking down the hall, and he goes, hey, where are you guys going? I should be able to go, too. And I'm like, you know what? Dude, I'm fine. Whatever.
Bring us the muscle.
100%. So we're walking down the hallway. I literally put my hand on the door to open up the door to go drop this secret insurance policy. But I remember now, the executive committee knows about the secret insurance policy, but not the board.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't know. Mm. So I'm putting my hand on the door, and I turn back towards him, and I go, hey, look. Months ago, your executive committee came up with a brilliant plan to protect the men policy, and the owners are going to hear about it for the first time right now.
Mm-hmm.
So just Just be cool.
Right.
Just chill.
Just don't say anything.
Just say anything.
You big lummox. So he turns your mouth shut.
And he's not a D fan. The guy turns to me and he goes, dude, is that true? Yeah. And I said something, you know, probably I can't use the language on morning show. Yeah. But I was like, look, I know, yes, this is true because not even I have big enough blank to fake this whole thing. And he turns to me and goes, dude, that's awesome.
Oh yeah.
And so we go in and we slap the thing down that, hey, look, I know you guys over and under, you think the players are going to crumble by week 4, week 5. We've frozen your $4 billion. If you guys lock us out, this thing's going to go the whole freaking season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we've got this insurance policy. And I will never forget the look on Roger's face. I thought, if that guy could reach across the table and choke me out.
Yeah, he was blown away.
All right, so it's a home run. And then what does ultimately, what did you guys net out of that deal? Because I remember you were criticized at times because maybe you gave a few percentage points back.
Yeah.
Knowing, though, that the pie was going to be so big that the players were going to make so much more money in the future.
Yeah, look, the pundits, you know, you have a job. Everybody gets to second guess you.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that most people didn't focus on was, we gave some percentage points back, but we locked in our share of revenue, which was really important because it was declining over time.
Mm-hmm.
And then back then, remember, we didn't have a mandatory spend.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I remember sitting down with a group of reporters, and I'm not going to name their names because some of them were chuckleheads at the time, but I said, hey, look, what do you think the teams are spending? Well, everybody said, everybody's spending the entire salary cap. No, they're not.
The Bengals definitely weren't.
No. They weren't.
Impossible.
So our guys are working as hard as they can, and they're not spending the amount of money that they're supposed to. So locking that in was huge.
So but you also made a salary floor.
Salary floor, right. kept our share. But more importantly, the big win, up until that point, the league had the unilateral right to add up to 20 games.
Okay, without paying any extra.
So they could add 4 games, but not pay for those 4 games. Not pay the players for 4 games.
A free 4 games that they would make billions and billions and billions.
100%.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and by the way, they'd done before. They'd gone from 12 games to 14 to 16. Right.
And never paid extra for it in terms of getting a share of the pie.
So it never happened.
So when Gene was negotiating those deals, he wasn't paying the players for the extra games.
Look, but here's the thing. He just didn't have the leverage.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. I mean, Gene was at the helm through what? 2 failed strikes.
Mm-hmm.
2 failed strikes. And I know Gene gets a lot of criticism, but look, I mean, he's the leader. The players have to toe the line and be strong.
Right.
And if you wake up one morning and you see frickin', you know, Joe Montana cross a picket line, I don't talk to Joe Montana now because he crossed a picket line.
I mean, that's just really?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
No.
Yeah.
Bad blood still exists to this day.
You can't cross a picket line.
Yeah.
And so Gene, I think, ended up negotiating the best deals he could with the leverage that he had.
I got you.
But I'll say one thing for him. He did something that I'm not sure I could do. After the failed strike, when the players crossed the picket line, the strike fails.
The scabs and all that.
It's crushed all that. And the players are literally begging to come back to work. You know who has to pick up the phone and call Paul Tagliabue and say, you won? We need to come back to work. Can we have our jobs back?
Mm-hmm.
Gene's got to do that.
Yep.
And I'll tell you right now.
That ain't fun.
I'm not sure I could.
You could do that, right?
No. Mm. But he did the right thing for his guys.
So we
get the right.
So you got the right to what?
Add games.
Do you add games back? Well,
flipped it around the other way. We had the right to veto any additional games.
Oh, and the only way you would agree to it is if they paid whatever you determined was fair.
Yeah. So you look forward, right? In 2011. They wanted us to play 2 games for free. We won back the right to say no. In 2020, the league bought the 17th game for approximately $1.6, $1.7 billion over 10 years.
Right.
And it was a game they had for free in 2011.
Right. Right.
Why did they agree to budge on that particular?
Well, because, you know, adding the 17th game also comes with a tremendous increase in revenue.
So much money, yeah.
Yeah, so by getting an extra point and a half for us, that comes out to about $1.7 billion over 10 years.
Right.
So, look, it's a win-win for everybody. But you want to be in a room or in a place where they actually pay you for doing
that. Yeah, share
work.
In the revenue, yeah. and the benefit.
And by the way, if the players don't want to play the 17th game, don't play.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But at least you're in a position now where you could attach a value to what this thing cost. And going to your point, the 2020 deal raised minimum salaries overnight by $200,000.
Right.
And over 70% of our guys are on minimums.
But the other thing is that I don't think D gets enough credit for, and I know he's been pushing, or he was, I don't know if he cares anymore, but pushing for everybody should be guaranteed contracts. They got guaranteed contracts in the NBA. They got guaranteed contracts in MLB, whatever.
NHL.
Yep. And, you know, you got guys like Kirk Cousins who did get guaranteed money, like 100% guaranteed. Now, it's very rare, but you guys are getting
Deshaun Watson.
Huge. Deshaun Watson. Is Terry McLaurin arguing about right now?
Guaranteed
money. 100%. Guaranteed money. Yeah. And all of that started, I have to say, with our friend, D. Smith, got that ball rolling. His guys got that ball rolling, right?
Look, it's important, and it's really important for players to use their leverage. My hopes, wishes go out to the best people at the NFLPA. I'm rooting for the new guy, David White. He's got a labor background. I knew him when he was at SAG-AFTRA. But, you know, look, the people at the NFLPA for years have just wanted the best for the players. And the players should demand what they think is in their best interest. And that's what Turf Wars is about.
Turf Wars is the book.
I'm sorry, real quick. The 18th game, which is obviously a rumor that they want to they want to add the 18th game. The current deal is up in 2030.
Right.
Now, the 18th game could be added if they just do the deal earlier than 2030.
Deal, I guess.
But that's definitely going to be one of the main issues for the next deal, right?
I think it's going to be one of the main issues. I also think that issues like pensions, you know, companies don't want to do pensions anymore.
Right.
And so I think the league is going to come back, and
they're going after them.
I think the league now thinks that the deal, at least what Roger said it a few weeks ago. He thought that the deal in 2020 was too rich for the players.
Mm.
So I think that 18th game is going to be big on their schedule. I also think that rolling back the economic wins for the players are going to be big. So these guys need to understand that a fight's coming. And I wish them the best.
They better get another insurance policy.
It's a big premium, I'm guessing, when that check got stroked.
All right, did you do one more segment?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Right. You know, maybe we'll get into the Terry McLaurin contract impasse.
Oh, we'd love to.
Come up with a good Dan Snyder story or two.
Oh, I've got a great Dan Snyder story.
That we'll definitely do all that when we get back with D. Smith in studio with the Junks. Happy to have D. Smith sitting in with the Junks. Go get his new book, Turf Wars, The Fight for the Soul of America's Game, wherever books are sold.
Hey, grab
a copy.
Far be it from me to defend Jerry Jones, because I don't care about him at all.
Here we go.
I get nothing. Uh-huh. But you attacked him, said if there was a dollar bill on the sidewalk, he'd bend over and get it. Who wouldn't? I'd pick up a dollar bill. Gangs would pick up a dollar bill.
Sure.
Jerry, I believe you would pick up a dollar bill.
I'd pick up a dollar bill. I probably wouldn't back my car over somebody to get it.
Okay, That's a different story.
Look, Jerry, the book was fun because I spent 15 years with these guys, and very few people get an opportunity to negotiate against, 31 billionaires. They all have their quirks, but, the reality of it is, man, these guys live in a world where if they can impose their will on you, they will. That's just
how they've gotten to where they are.
That's how they've gotten where they are.
Right.
Can we? I got a bunch of things still I want to ask you while you're here. But I got a listener, a diehard listener, though, and he's just skeptical.
Yeah.
He's saying, I know D's your guy, but he refuses to believe. And I'm like, dude, they went to court over it.
Yeah.
He refuses to believe that a network would sign a deal that would pay for no product.
Yeah.
Can you explain how that?
Sure.
Maybe that worked in their head? Or
sure. No. I mean, I guess one thing I would say to the fan is, man, have you read the TV contract?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Well, then pump the brakes. I did.
Yeah.
So, Ryan,
you're not making it up. I can answer. He read it.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course. I went to court over it. Of course it happened.
We went to court over it and a judge ruled for us. So, what I would say is, hey, man, go read the opinion.
Yeah, but why? His point is
why would
a network sign something like that?
Two reasons. One, the networks always sign contracts where at the end of the day, they have a section called make goods. So what could happen is, okay, a game gets canceled or something happens and it doesn't get shown. Well, the make goods provision means that the league needs to do something to make up for the fact that something didn't happen.
Okay.
But here's the real reason why they do it, and fans just need to get their heads around it. Of the top 100 television shows every year, 90 of them are NFL games.
Yeah.
So the reason why revenue is so high is that the league has so much leverage over the networks that let me just tell you something that everybody needs to get their head around. the networks lose money on football.
Wow.
It just keeps them.
It is not a positive ROI on football.
And also,
they'll pay anything to keep it.
Correct.
Because so they'll say, right, Deez, they'll say, look, you want the NFL? You have to also put in this provision that if we get locked out or something happens, you're going to have to pay us $1 billion.
Correct.
We don't care. We want the NFL. We'll sign that.
100%.
So that's
and
why.
So at the end desperate. Of the day, the way they make money is football drives everything for their ancillary television content. So you think about the deal that Rupert Murdoch did for Fox to get football whenever it was back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
CBS refused to play football. So CBS had the games. Fox wanted football. Rupert Murdoch made a bid to get the NFL, and he drastically overpaid the value. But remember, Fox back then was the Tracy Ullman show. You know, when dogs kill people. Right. You know,
they needed
criminals.
Like an anchor.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, okay. You know, when cats get guns, whatever the show they were showing on Fox.
Yeah.
But as soon as Fox got the NFL, that blew up Fox Network. What happened to CBS? CBS thought, we've got the number one show in America, and that's 60 Minutes.
Mm-hmm. They tanked.
They tanked.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story is, every network now realizes, if they want to be a player, you have to have the NFL.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So much so, I don't know if you saw Roger's statement 2 days ago. And he's, I mean, we get along a lot better. Well, he hasn't read the book, but that's probably going to be a problem.
Yeah.
But he actually does better in the book than I ever thought he would.
He actually came off pretty well.
I'm dead serious. I mean, Roger and I nicked each other up over, 15 years, and we had some knockdown dragouts.
Well, you have to. You guys are like Hatfields and McCoys.
You have to. But at the end, I mean, look, we got the 2020 deal done. He came out one day and said that the league got it wrong on Anthem and got it wrong on Kaepernick, and that took a lot of guts on his part. But last week, if you notice what he said, our competition is not the NBA. Our competition is Apple and Google.
Right.
Mm.
You want to talk about how they get the leverage?
Mm-hmm.
If you got to a point where now the NFL considers that the only competition they have in the world is Apple and Google.
Mm-hmm.
They're
that's
on the verge
are.
Of running. That's how big you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're bigger than any network.
Can you explain, because I always got a kick out of this, that it's a thrill for a lot. We love the draft, right? And the NFL is so brilliant at marketing.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Truly, everything is like all NFL all the time, year round. The draft is one of those deals.
It's insane.
And D has always told me that, I could say this. I know sure. I can say this. It infuriated him that the players would hug
Goodell.
The guy,
yeah. Yeah.
The guy
like
who
they've
wants
been friends.
To play 25 games, who would like to strip them of their pensions,
yeah. cut their salaries
in half,
yeah.
And you guys are going up there and hugging this guy like he's your savior.
Like he's daddy.
Right. That
drives me crazy.
That would drive you crazy.
It's like
drives
me crazy. Darth Vader.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, look, I mean, I got a great job at Latham when they recruited me out of the U.S. Attorney's Office. Man, I didn't hug the dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you shake his hand and you say, yeah. Thank you very much. And you're going to pay me a lot of money. I'm going to work a lot of hours. And that's our relationship. And what I would like to tell players is, hey, man, you're going to go and hug this guy like he's your dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next time you see this cat will be when he suspends you.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That literally is the next time you'll see him. Or the only time you'll see him.
Right.
So,
two-faced.
Treat it like a job. It's
just
you know.
Be respectful.
I would be two-faced too to make $70 million a year.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, but you could just shake his hand.
Shake his hand.
It's annoying that he does that because it looks like they've been friends for 20 years.
Right.
100%. And it's the first time he doesn't care about
Roger. Roger doesn't care about you. You are a commodity to him.
I know.
That's Deez's point.
I know.
Yeah. Well, and look, my standard line to the draftees, because we would see him the day before the actual draft, right? And that part is very cool from a football standpoint. Like,
of course.
You're in a room. We've got the top, whatever it is, 50, 60 players.
And their
players,
lives are going to be changed forever.
And they're young, and they're kids, and they're happy, and I dig it, and I think it's absolutely great. But what I always said to them was, you're going to see a big sign that says, welcome to the NFL family. And my standard line was, you are not in the family because you're not in the will.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's a job. And congratulations, but you're only there because you were the best college football player in the country. They're not giving you anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're there because you are better than
everybody
else.
And they want to cut your pay. They want to take away your pension. They want you to play a million games.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
Just remember. And again, you sit at the job, and I only have one myopic focus on making the players better. than they were the day before. That's it. Mm-hmm. And it does rob you of loving the game over
how
a
did
period
you,
of time.
How did you deal with, like, you even alluded to it yourself. He wasn't a D guy. Yeah. He was a D guy. So, like, you have, like I could remember being at St. Andrew's games when Steven and Alex played together. They played soccer and lacrosse together. And D would be sitting there, and he had 100 phones, and Peyton Manning's on one, and freaking Tom Brady's on another. And you have to deal with, and then you have other guys, you know, union reps you're dealing with. But some of them were D guys. Some of them weren't D guys. What made one a D guy and another not a D guy?
You know, I think what I always loved with
like Aaron Rodgers was not a D guy.
I'm not sure he's anybody's guy.
Yeah. Right.
I mean,
he's his own guy.
He's his own guy. And again, maybe that's the good foil. Guys who were curious, who wanted to understand what a union is about, guys who wanted to ask questions. I mean, look, everybody comes into a scenario with your preloaded assumptions about the way things are supposed to work. And that's completely fine, right? It's the listener who, man, I don't believe the TV contracts are like that. I'm like, hey, man, it's fine for you to have that kind of belief.
Right.
But I can't teach you anything if you think you already know everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't know if guys were always just D guys or not D guys. I just like the guys who were willing to say, okay, teach me.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, if you want to learn, man, learn that John Mackey sued the NFL for free agency in 1971. We didn't get free agency until 1993.
Mm-hmm.
It was 20 years of litigation. Jeez. 20
That's
years.
That's crazy.
20 years. And so, you know, you get some guys in the room who stand up and say, well, you know, I don't like D because he likes to litigate instead of negotiate. And I'm kind of like, well, champion man, if you just want to, like, open a book and, like, read, you would learn that the only thing we ever got was
through litigation.
Yeah. And if somebody comes by and says, hey, you know, we want to take your stuff away, I mean, I guess you could give it to them.
Uh-huh.
I'm not that
You're going to fight for it.
I'm going
to
fight
so
for it.
So you schooled, I don't even know if you can say this, but who was the toughest player to deal with that just didn't believe what you were teaching?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
All right, maybe,
I mean, you know what I do know is I know that there were some guys, I can tell you there were some guys who weren't believers who then understood it. And and probably the best guy was Tom
Brady.
Tom wasn't a D guy at first.
I don't know if he wasn't. I'll take that back. I think he was always Tom was always a good union guy.
All right.
I mean, look, one story I tell in the book is, you know, I don't know, it was like maybe a month after I get elected. The Patriots were one of the first teams that I went to visit on a team visit. And I think somebody from Real Sports were with me, and, you know, they kind of do the whole B-roll where you're walking into the thing. And,
yep.
You know, I'd like to say it was a great D moment, but literally I walk in and the door opens and there's nobody there and I have no idea where I'm going. I'm just lost. Mm-hmm. And there's this camera following me and I'm literally walking around freaking Patriot Place looking like a complete idiot because I've never been there before. But anyway, I go down this hallway, I make a right. And when I make a right, there's Tom Brady sitting in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, he stands up and he goes, hey, you know, I'm Tom Brady. And I'm like, first of all, you're 97 feet tall. I mean, the dude is ginormous.
Right.
And I said, hey, I'm D Smith. And I said, oh, hey, by the way, what are you doing here? And he turns to me and he goes, hey, look, you're our new leader. And I thought it was important that I walk you into the team room.
Mm. Oh, that's cool.
That's pretty good.
That's good. Pretty good. Right.
And, yeah. But Tom was also one of those guys who didn't quite either believe or understand that the Patriots were only spending 89% of the salary cap, right? And I had I got crossways with Tom because he was taking quarterback deals that were undervalued.
Right.
And the idea, or at least the thought was, well, they're paying Tom less money so they could spread the money around to other players. That just
wasn't the case.
They were only spending 89% of the cap.
Yeah.
So, you know, two problems. It was like, one, I want them to spend as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But two, you not taking top value quarterback contracts suppresses the market.
Yeah, hurts other quarterbacks,
so
other players.
Do? If you, I know that you would, I don't think you would ever do it. But let's just say you were an agent representing a player, right? Let's say you're representing Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
What leverage does he have?
Well, the leverage he has is...
Because they're killing him because of his age. And they're looking at the inevitable decline that, on average, guys his age, right? Yep. And they don't want to pay a premium.
Yep.
What leverage does he have?
The leverage that he has is to continue to make his case that he's the best wide receiver on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I like Josh. And I think that, mm-hmm. you know, I've been in this town for a long time. You know, mm-hmm. we all suffered through Dan Snyder, mm-hmm. and I suffered through it as a fan, you know, as well as...
Hey, our wallets suffered through it.
We all
Dan
did.
Dan Snyder owes us... A lot of money.
Yeah. At least a hug. At least a hug.
No, ratings bonuses. He costs us a lot of ratings bonuses. Yeah.
But,
no, he did.
But at the end of the day, look, I think I like Josh. I think everything he's doing is right. There's a new feeling spirit around this team.
Yeah, this is not an anti-Josh thing. I'm just saying from a player perspective.
That's where I'm going. So what I would say if I'm you know, Terry and I'm not his agent, but look, they're on the verge of something special here. And he has demonstrated his worth to the team. He has demonstrated that he is the most lethal guy on the field at that position. There's not 10 Terry McLaughlins out there, right? Mm-hmm. They're just not. So I think his leverage is to continue to say that, look, this is something I demand. And you know what? He does.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when does he – but what's the breaking point? They're not budging.
You never know. You never know. But you, I do know one thing. Until you force it to that point, you never get anything. So I'm behind him. I'm behind everybody there. I think it's cool. I think the team is in great hands. I love the Josh regime more than I love the Dan Snyder regime.
We didn't get the Dan Snyder story.
That goes without saying.
We'll do it when we come back. Last segment.
All right. Turf Wars is the book. Damora Smith is the author. Go buy it wherever books are sold. D. Smith, former executive director of the NFLPA. We'll wrap up the show with him next. All right, we're joined in the studio by Damora Smith. His book is Turf Wars, The Fight for the Soul of America's Game. Go grab it now.
I think you can tell both of those. Tell the first
tell
one.
Tell the Jason Campbell one first. That's
yeah,
right.
So this is what? Must have been like 20, long after 2009, 2012.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Walk back, and I needed to go talk to Dan for whatever reason. So I get to the facility. I get done with the team meeting. The secretary says, oh, hey, you know, by the way, he's ready to go talk to you. So she leads me to the back in Dan's inner sanctum. And I walk in, and when she opens the door, you know, I sit there and standing there. And I look over to my right, and there's Dan Snyder on a treadmill, just huffing and puffing and sweating and all sorts of stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, I just have to talk to you for like 5 minutes. Can you just stop with
you
the
press
treadmill
pause.
Thing?
Can you
just,
press pause?
Come on, man. Just go down to a slow walk,
it's
perhaps.
Okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
So we're talking about whatever we needed to talk about. And I just noticed my eyes kind of pan to the left, and there's on a big screen, I noticed that, you know, there's football plays being run forward, run back, forward, run back. And there's poor Jason Campbell sitting on a sofa, and Dan Snyder's talking to him like, how come you didn't throw the ball to that guy? Or how come you just missed the read? And Jason Campbell, who was a great guy.
Yeah,
good dude.
Our eyes meet, and he just has that look on his face of, can you believe this is my life?
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember turning around and walking out thinking, reason number 950 to never work at a team.
Right. Just... Tell the story.
Okay, this is going to put me in trouble, but you want me to tell it?
Yeah, I think you. I don't think you'd get in trouble.
Okay, whatever. So we're it's the Patriots are playing the Washington team at FedEx. I'm walking
what
down
year?
The field.
Do you remember?
This was long after the lockout was over. So probably 15-16, something like that.
15-16?
Something like that. Yeah. And on the sideline, I say hi to, you know, Tom, and, you know, he's in pregame mode. Tom.
Okay, go ahead.
And I walk over to Dan, and he, by the way, he and I were always kind of cool. He knew I grew up here. He knew I was a fan.
You guys are always cordial.
Always cordial. St. Andrew's parent, you know, nice guy. I had to get a donation out of him once, and literally it was like squeezing blood out of a rock, but that's neither here nor there. So I stand on the sideline, and I'm like, hey, good luck today, you know, playing the Patriots. And the Patriots were on a roll that year. I mean, they were, it was a Super Bowl year for them. And I said, hey, good luck today. And he turns to me and he goes, hey, look, good luck. I mean, look at their number 12 and look at my number 12.
Oh, man. And I think like that so was rough. Actually Cousins.
Was that Cousins?
I mean, if
that,
I don't remember.
Well, 2015, that makes sense.
Yeah.
2015.
Hey, Kirk Cousins is no Tom Brady. He's good.
I turned to him and I said, hey, man, you never know. It could be a good day for you guys. And I think, I don't know, I think Tom lit him up for 50.
Right. Right.
Crazy times.
Yeah, that's not great. It's not great if you're
Hey, I was going to say, I guess Todd Collins, but I don't think Collins was 12.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
And then that year, it was, yeah, he was, because Cousins was 12.
I think it was Cousins. No, and, you know, who knows?
It's great to be a fan again. I'll be dead honest. I mean, you know, I grew up, you know, we loved this team. We were talking during the break about, you know, the old the old Washington, the old Redskins team. I mean, that was just a hardcore blue collar local DMV team, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we grew up with.
Are you going to go to games now?
Oh, heck yeah.
You
heck
are.
Yeah. I mean, look, that, I'll tell you what. That Hail Mary last year made me a fan again.
Oh, yeah.
It just
Jaden made everybody a fan again. He's such an incredible guy.
Great dude, smart guy. I think that this team's on the right track. It's one of the reasons why the McLaurin thing needs to work itself out.
It will.
Let's get to football. Let's dig it.
How are you going to go to games? Because I've been to games with D before.
Yeah.
Literally, we get the best parking.
Yeah.
You get security walk us through the event. You go wherever you want. You go on the field. You get the best suite.
And then you walk in and some guy goes, hey, man, D sucks.
Yeah, yeah okay, yeah. but now you're just regular. You're like, you're really not that much different than me now.
Can you reach out to the teams? Or they're like,
we've been negotiating.
I'm for 15 years.
I'm good with buying my ticket and hanging out in the fan. Look, it's fun just to go and be a fan again.
Right.
But you know, who wasn't after that Hail Mary last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you sit there and you know my parents, and there is nothing more fun than watching my parents watch them play. It's hysterical.
Well, because people have optimism and hope for a franchise for the first time in 30 years.
Yeah, I saw a rebirth.
It's tangible now.
I saw a rebirth.
I know you're trying to figure out what's next for you.
Because
I know you can't. Like, if we were you when we had your, you know, salary and money, we would be on a beach somewhere, wouldn't think about working. But I know you like to work.
Playing golf all day.
I know you like to be involved.
Yeah.
Are you going to do more labor stuff? Are you going to? You're out on that.
I will never do that again.
Hey, we're in the same building as the NL. Is it the NLRB?
Yeah.
NLRB. Sure.
Yeah, there's this building. Yeah, I'll go up and just say hi.
You're out on that. You'll do some teaching.
How about the statutory labor in front? Yeah, whatever.
Are you going to get back into practicing?
No.
You're done on that, too?
Bro, I'm done.
You'll just consult.
I'm just going to consult. You know, I'll just help out on some other stuff.
I've been playing a lot of golf.
He's going to practice his golf swing.
Are you getting better?
I'm getting better.
Yeah.
I played.
Karen still beat you.
She beats me to death.
Yeah.
But yeah, she plays 5 times a week. I mean, it's insane. But teaching at Pepperdine for the last 2 years, Yale before that. I may go to University of Miami this year and teach.
That is cool.
I love teaching.
But you're not doing that for money. You're doing that for fun.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Real quick before we go, you're out at Pepperdine teaching the spring semester, but you were there last year.
Yeah.
And of course, Pepperdine's in Malibu, and you went.
It just happens to be in Malibu.
Just happens to be.
Yeah, and you it's go just to weird that way, right?
You were in the Nobu restaurant there.
Oh yeah,
and
I'm a Nobu guy now.
You would see everybody, but one guy knew who you were.
The only guy that I ever met who even knew I walked in, and there was Jamie Foxx, and he goes,
"Nice, good one.
You're the NFLPA guy."
That is so cool.
Like, oh yeah,
hey, he played Steeman Willie Beeman in Any Given Sunday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Football ties.
That was our connection.
Yeah, there you have it.
Nobody. he said he saw De Niro in there. Oh, Denzel. Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett. Oh, she's so hot.
Sofia Vergara.
Mother.
Yeah.
Mother. All right. So listen, hey, it's been a long time friendship with
D. Man. Thank you guys.
That's of never going to change.
Everybody, you guys always rocked it with the players, and I appreciate it.
Of course. Make sure you get the book.
Turf Wars.
You get it anywhere, right?
I can't wait to.
It's a fun read.
I'm going to read this on the beach on my vacation.
It's a fun read.
Right.
I mean, I just hope he's goofing on owners left and right. I mean, that's got to be a big portion
of
it.
Yeah, there's not going to be any holiday gifts coming from those guys.
Probably not.
No.
It's not going to be happening.
No. Are you going to do a paperback and add a chapter or something like that?
I guess. I mean, you know what was fun was doing the audiobook. I read the book.
Oh, wasn't that torture?
Oh, wow.
Oh, you liked it.
It was brutal.
Oh, how long did that take?
7 days, 7 hours a day.
Oh my God.
You know what? I'm not going to cheat by listening to the audiobook. I'm going to read the brick and mortar
version right here.
It was literally just
but do
like,
people torture. Buy it? Like, what percentage are buying audiobooks now? I bet a high percentage.
More than the written. So it's all doing well.
Wow. So 50% will buy the audiobook?
It's crazy.
That's
it's
nutty.
Crazy. But you know what? I love audiobooks.
Audiobooks are great. I like listen to audiobooks, believe it or not, if I'm working out.
D, thank you for the time.
Never do that.
Got to do a quick giveaway. We appreciate it. D. Smith, former executive director of the NFLPA. Be sure to get his book, Turf Wars. It's available now. The 10th caller right now at 800-636-1067. You're going to score 2 tickets to Cypress Hill and Atmosphere, Dank Days of Summer Tour with Lupe Fiasco and The Far Side Friday, August 15th at Pier 6 Pavilion. Tickets on sale now.
We forgot to do the smelling salts. We're going to do smelling salts with D.
I guess it just means D's got to come back sometime.
I'll come back. For that, wow, geez, man, you're bringing out the stops.
I'd rather have the tequila.
I'll bring the tequila.
All the creature comforts for D. Smith. No expenses spared for him. 800-636-1067. Be the 10th caller right now. You win those Cypress Hill and Atmosphere tickets. I will see you guys next week.
Yep.
Have a good show with JP coming back.
Yeah, you'll see us in two weeks.
I'll see you in two weeks.
2 weeks.
That's correct. All right, we got to get out of here.
Don't lose your kids like JP did.
I'm going to try not to. All right, we're done for the weekend. We'll see you Monday. B. Mitch and Finley up next.